morning, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 11. 2 Kings 11. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she rose and destroyed all the royal offspring. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, who were being put to death, and placed him and his nurse in the bedroom. So they hid him from Athaliah, and he was not put to death. So he was hidden with her in the house of the Lord 6 years, while Athaliah was reigning over the land. Now in the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and brought the captains of hundreds of the Karaites of the guard, and brought them to him in the house of the Lord. Then he made a covenant with them, and put them under oath in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son. And he commanded them, saying, "This is a thing that you should do, 1/3 of you who come in on the Sabbath and keep watch over the king's house. 1/3 also should be at the gate, sir, and 1/3 at the gate behind the guards, shall keep watch over the house for defense. And 2 parts of you, even all who go out on the Sabbath, shall also keep watch over the house of the Lord for the king. Then you shall surround the king, each with his weapons in his hand, and whoever comes within the ranks shall be put to death, and be with the king when he goes out and when he comes in." So the captains of hundreds did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded. And each one of them took his men who were to come in on the Sabbath, and those who were to go out on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest. And the priest gave the captains of hundreds the spears and shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of the Lord. And the guard stood each with his weapons in his hand, from the right side of the house to the left side of the house, by the altar and by the house around the king. Then he brought the king's son out and put the crown on him and gave him the testimony, and they made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, "Long live the king!" Then Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people. She came to the people of the house of the Lord. She looked, and behold, the king was standing by the pillar according to the custom, and the captains and the trumpeters beside the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew trumpets. Then Athaliah tore her clothes and cried, "Treason! Treason!" Then Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of hundreds who were appointed over the army and said to them, "Bring her out between the ranks, and whoever follows her put to death with the sword." For the priest said, "Let her not be put to death in the house of the Lord." So they seized her, and when she arrived at the horse's entrance to the king's house, she was put to death there. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people that they should be the Lord's people, also between the king and the people. And all the people of the land went to the house of Baal, tore it down. His altars and his images they broke in pieces thoroughly, and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. And the priests appointed officers over the house of the Lord. And he took the captains of hundreds and the Karaites and the guards and all the people of the land, and they brought the king down from the house of the Lord and came by the way of the gate of the guards to the king's house. And he sat on the throne of the kings. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, for they had put Athaliah to death with the sword at the king's house. Jehoash was 7 years old when he became king. Amen. So this is so the king, to get this idea, little Joash is 1 year old when all this thing happens. And this is really, if anything else, this is a really, really sad commentary and a great reminder for us regarding marriage. So let me go back a little bit. Let me tell you. So Athaliah was the mother of Jehoram. Athaliah was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And so for whatever reason, obviously we're talking about the king of Israel, but Jehoram took Athaliah to be her his wife, but it was the daughter of Jezebel and the daughter of Ahab, who did incredible evil in the sight of the Lord. I mean, we don't have to go into detail of all that Jezebel had done. And so you have the daughter, and then the daughter now has a child, and that's who Ahaziah is. And because of this relationship, because of this marriage, Baal worship is incredibly prevalent all over Judah. Remember, that was primarily the sin of Israel. But now it had crossed over into the land of Judah, which would be the house of David. Just think, Judah is David, okay? And so, I mean, it's amazing to think. And I know we can draw all kinds of different conclusions from this. But I'll just say a little side note. Listen, it's really important who you marry. It's really important that it's man of God, woman of God. It's really important that whoever that we bring into our family, I'm talking about in covenant, number one, first of all, that there actually is in covenant. And, you know, they're a believer and they walk according to the ways of the Lord. It's so important. We see in this, we see incredible tragedy as a result of one relationship. For whatever reason, Jehoram, just knucklehead and a half. And as a result, we have this thing happen here. And so look what happens. Remember, all of Ahab and Jezebel descendants are wiped out. So now this is Israel, and then some parts also in like the relatives. If you remember in verse 13 of chapter 10, the relatives of Judah, but apparently there's some left over. And so Athaliah would be one of them, but what does she do? She goes and kills all the offspring. And now you see her bloodthirst in this regard because she wants to be in charge. She wants to be the queen. I mean, she is the queen already, but she wants to be the ruling queen in that regard. And so she destroys all the offspring, but there's a sister, a daughter of Joram, a sister of Ahaziah, and so she takes Joash, the son, when he's 1 year old, and she hides him. And the translation says bedroom. It's actually a bedroom closet. And so in the ancient times, what they would do is, you know, they would bring the mats out and the beds out. So this would be a closet where they would store the blankets and the linen and all those things. And so it was a pretty decent-sized room, obviously. You got all these mattresses there. And so they would be, so she hid him in there for years. And then Jehoiada, who was the high priest of Judah, he goes and he takes him and he hides him in the temple, which comes to mind something very interesting, okay? If the high priest hides this boy in the temple, what does it say to you about the queen? She never goes to the temple. She never goes to worship the Lord. This is the land of King David. You know what I mean? This is the family, the descendants of King David, who he says that, you know, one thing I ask, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. I mean, can you imagine? You know, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. We see all the poems that he's written about the beauty of the house of the Lord. And here you have a descendant, even though by marriage, and she does not go to the house of the Lord. You get a little idea of the dire situation. And so where does she go to worship? Actually, the temple of Baal. And so she is totally into idolatry. She's opened up idolatry for the whole land and then evil in the sight of the Lord. Even killing, this would be her own children, her own relatives. I mean, it's crazy. This evil that has now entered into Judah, you know, as a result. I mean, it's crazy when we think about this. And so, thankfully, remember, this is the theme of 1 and 2 Kings. It's the hand of God operating and working, not only behind the scenes, but in front of the scenes that are orchestrating human history. And so what does God do? Because, remember his promise to King David, and he promised David that your descendants will sit on this throne, that he was going to bless them. And so what does he do? He hides one, even allowing, you know, basically her, I guess it would be her daughter to betray, hides the son, hides him in the temple, and then actually has the high priest to notch it up another level and produce guards that would cover the temple to make sure that this boy's life is spared. It's the hand of God in operation because God is so true to his promises. If God says it's going to be done, it's going to be done. If God promises David someone's going to sit on your throne, guess what? Someone's going to sit on your throne. It's going to be this amazing follow-through of his promise that happens, which kind of goes to another thing when we think about it. Luke chapter 1 has a really incredible verse that really sums this up for us. And he's talking to Mary. And it basically tells the angel announces to Mary that she's going to bear a child. And remember, Mary's freaking out. Says, "Man, that's impossible to do that." And what then the angel told? Angel said, it's not basically the word is it's not impossible with God. All things are possible with God. But really, the way if you break it up, and I've taught this many times at church in Greek, it says no spoken word of God should be without ability. It's the word rhema. You know what that means? That means as soon as God says it, God tells you something, he promises, like he promised to David, as soon as God says it, the power to perform it doesn't mean there may be a delay, but the power to perform the word is already active and it's there. It's powerful. You think about that. Some of you guys are single here and you know the word of the Lord God says you're going to be married. As soon as God said that word to you, that man was there. It just makes some time for it to be fulfilled, but as soon as he says it, the power to perform it is there. And so like in Genesis, God says, let there be light, and boom, light happens. It happened in a word. And it's important to us recognize that because God's primary revelation to mankind is through his speech, is through his word. A spoken word or a spoken word that's written down for us, the Logos. And so we have this. So he is faithful to the house of David, so much so that he rescues this boy Joash. They come in. They finally think, okay, he's 7 years old. It's time now for him to become the king. They're sick of the idolatry. They're sick of following this evil woman. And so they bring it up. And notice it wasn't too difficult to convince these guards to turn. And in the letter of the law, to commit treason over this evil queen. Because, well, to be honest, Joash was the rightful heir. Because he was the direct daughter. He wasn't, you guys understand succession and these things. And so they put her to death outside. Remember, because remember in the temple, it's forbidden. But outside, they put her to death. And then in verse 17, an interesting passage. So Jehoiada, the high priest, he made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people. Notice how it happens. The Lord makes a covenant with the king. The Lord makes a covenant with the leader, the key leader, and then the people. And then the king I'll just read this, verse 17. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people, that they should be the Lord's people, also between the king and the people. So we see this covenant between the Lord, the king, and the people. So it all makes sense, right? It all flows together. And then after that, a covenant between the king and the people. What binds the covenant between the king and the people? It's the covenant between the Lord. This is why in the New Testament, the Bible tells us to submit and obey the authorities. That's God-given authority that happens. Like right now, I'll be really honest. When I was in the U.S., I was so heartbroken and so, it was really sad. And I'm not a fan of Trump or anything like that, but just the abuse and the disrespect. He's not a perfect man, but there is no perfect leader, okay? But the abuse and the disrespect that they show the President of the United States, it was really, really alarming. And I think what made me sad more than anything else, it wasn't like normal people, even from pastors, right? There are some pastors, actually some of them are former students of mine, that are like posting all the time just this nonsense rhetoric. And I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, if I run into so-and-so, you know, my old high school student who's a pastor now, if I run into so-and-so, Lord, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. But, you know, I never ran into him. He's very, very fortunate during that time. But it's just the vitriol that is alive. See, God, he tells us to obey and submit to our leaders, those that are in authority. And not just the President of the United States. I'm talking about, like, governors. I'm talking about policemen. I'm talking about firemen. I'm talking about teachers. Pastors, obviously, flow in that place. But it's people that God has given authority over them. Now, some of them are righteous and some of them are not. That's not for up to us, right? Up to us is because our primary concern is our covenant with God. And that's what seals our covenant with our leaders, you know, our obedience in that regard. Now, obviously, you know, someone is asking you, and this would be across the board, asking you to do something that's illegal, that's a whole other matter altogether. Right, even parents. Your parents ask you to do something illegal, like your parents say, "Hey, you know, we're short of money this month. Let's go rob a bank." No, you are not bound by Christ to obey such a thing. Particularly when the Bible tells us in the New Testament, "Obey your parents in the Lord." You know, meaning that you know, as they're not violating the Lord in that regard, and so so that's what happens in this place. And then he's. The zeal of the Lord is upon them. They go down to the house of Baal, tear it down, altars, images broken to pieces, and they kill Matan, the priest of Baal. And it's just interesting to know the difference, right? I mean, here's the temple of Baal could be torn down because it's images, it's man-made stuff. But think about this. They're teared out, and they have torn down twice the temple of the Lord, and the Lord still remains because he's not a graven image. Do you know what I mean? He's not something that made by human hands in that regard. And so he goes down, and then so Joash begins to reign over Judah. And, you know, the great thing is Joash, we'll read tomorrow, does right in the sight of the Lord. And so the faith is restored in the land of Judah. So let's close our eyes. I mean, I think there's probably a couple things that we can pray about this morning. One deals with the issue of relationships. Be very wise in the primary relationship that we get ourselves into, which is husband and wife. Jehoram made a huge mistake, and as a result, his whole seed just about is wiped out. Almost, except God has mercy on him because of David, and Joash comes on the scene. But through miraculous escape, so be very wise, every one of us, especially the singles that are here, be very wise about your mate selection. You may be lonely now and wanting to get married, but you have to think long term and not short term. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Maybe another topic could be how we deal and treat our leaders, world leaders. You know, one thing I really respect about RT, you know, when we talked last year, he said he didn't really agree with a lot of President Obama's policies. And, you know, it's agreed. I can understand that. But he said, but I prayed for that man every single day for 8 years. Respect. You know what I mean? Respect. Now, we may not agree, I mean, as an American, with President Trump's policies, or you guys are Hong Kong people with Carrie Lam's or anything else. But that's not for us. For us, it's to pray. It's to pray and to be faithful in that regard. And if we have not been doing that, then let the Holy Spirit convict us to do that. Now, let's pray together. Let's pray. Huh? Whatever the Lord is speaking to you about, if made selection, just go before the Lord. If it's dealing with government officials, the rulers and leaders over us, civilly, let's go before the Lord in that matter as well. Let's pray. Go to our mission focus, let's go to our community focus, and let's pray for our community. They're battling through illness and cancers, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's ask God to empower them through their therapies, that God's healing word would be come forth. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray that the Lord will reveal himself to them. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for our sister Liz. Let's pray for God's provision. Let's pray for open doors. Go to our mission focus, and let's pray for Singapore. Let's pray for SPSG. Let's pray for Pastor Sam Kim and the board and the leaders that they would continue to build God's house there. Let's also pray for Indonesia. Let's pray for the most populous Muslim country in the world. Let's pray for Spin. Pray for Pastor Selamat. Actually, they're celebrating their 21st wedding anniversary. And so let's ask God's blessing over them and just a favor of the Lord. Let's pray for the ministry that God would continue to use them powerfully. And let's lift up these churches and these countries. Pray for our prayer and healing ministries, for IP, the well, and the river. Let's pray that the Lord would really have their way, particularly over the river. Pray for Belinda and Janice, who are taking over for Rachel, who's on maternity leave. Let's lift up these ministries. Let's pray that as they pray for people, that the Holy Spirit would really be activated and moving. Let's pray over our education ministries, the Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's pray for our pastors, our leaders, the teachers, and also the students, that they would all draw closer to the Lord through these ministries. Let's pray for our outreaches tonight, SP Lights and the Homie Outreach. Let's pray for our volunteers that go out, that there will be divine encounters, that the Holy Spirit would use them powerfully, protect them, and really just give them the energy to go and be faithful. And tonight, let's pray for East Bay and Olympic, and let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead our leaders, lead a discussion, lead the times of prayer and worship, that people really connect to the Lord and with each other. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God. Thank you for your word. God, thank you that you are so active, God, in human history. Lord, you are true to your word, to your promises, God. Lord, even hiding an infant, Lord, to see your word to David, Lord, be fulfilled. And so we thank you for your faithfulness, God. Lord, Timothy, Paul wrote in Timothy, God, that even when we're faithless, you remain faithful, for you cannot deny yourself, God. So we thank you for your faithfulness, God. Lord, you can't not be faithful. And so, Lord, we pray, God, that we would just derive an incredible trust in you for the things that you've spoken into our lives individually as a church. Lord, we trust in your promises, God, and we're going to pray until we see those things come through, Lord. And so we thank you. Lord, watch over us today. Lord, help us to glorify your Son in all that we do and say, God. We love you so much, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow.